All right, how's everybody doing? Welcome to Monday here. I'm Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, ChicagoJazz.com. And of course, you are listening and watching the Chicago Music Revealed Show, episode 71. Yes, 71, Monday through Friday right here, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Always great to have everyone chiming in. If you're watching this, please like it, please share it, leave us a comment. We are streaming on Chicago Jazz Magazine's Facebook page, on Chicago Music Revealed's Facebook page, on the Chicago Music Guide's Facebook page, and of course, then this all goes up on ChicagoMusicRevealed.com. Always a pleasure. We've got a full week of shows. Today is going to be very exciting. We're going to have Orbert Davis and Dr. Roosevelt Griffin III. They're going to be on. We're going to be talking all about the virtual Summer Academy happening from the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic. But before we get to that, I want to make sure everybody knows Andy's Jazz Club is open again Wednesday through Sunday. Green Mill open again every night of the week. Dave Gemmelow is killing it over there. Every night of the week, everything is totally safe and COVID safe. So wear your mask, use your hand sanitizer, stay away from everybody, and show up and have some great live music. And Joan Wayne Siegel's Jazz Showcase opened up this past weekend with the great D. Alexander. So coming this coming weekend, I think Wayne is going to announce another show here very shortly. So stay tuned. He's doing Thursday through Sunday. So it's important to get out there and support all of the live music. And as I always mention, as well as founding Chicago Jazz Magazine, Chicago Music Revealed, I'm also the Director of Programming and Entertainment at the soon-to-be-opening Epiphany Center for the Arts right there, 201 South Ashland Avenue. We are going to be starting live music 7 nights a week over there starting in September. COVID safe. We have a lot of protocols going in place, so stay tuned, and we will be announcing everything at epiphanyshy.com. Now, that's enough of the intro. Let's get right to it. Orbert and Roosevelt, welcome to the show. I'm glad we could jump on and talk about this exciting camp you guys are going to be presenting here July 20th through July 31st. How are you guys?
All right.
Great.
Yeah. Thank
well, you. It's a pleasure having you both on. And, you know, Orbert, you and I have you've done the show many times over the years, the podcast, yeah, the show. We've done in-person things and everything else. But this is probably the first time that we're talking about this camp. And I know we've talked about this camp in the past because you've been doing mm-hmm. this for many years. But this is the first virtual camp for obvious reasons. I think to me, my question to you is, when did you decide to have to make that right-hand turn and take this whole thing virtual?
You know, it was actually pretty early. We, matter of fact, you know, as everyone knows, everything went virtual.
So yeah.
Back in March, I mean, we were looking at our calendar. We had to cancel quite a few performances, a couple trips. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of looked at the calendar, and then we saw how things were going, and especially how you know, life is going and where we are. So we wanted to make the decision early enough so that we could adjust to it.
Well, and that and doing something virtually, especially since you weren't planning to do it virtually, I mean, what kind of a heavy lift was that? Because you're it's not just like, oh, well, okay, we'll just do all this virtually, no problem. I mean, there's a whole ball game happening here. So, I mean, what kind of a lift was it when you were, you know, getting involved, and how much technology did you – you guys do a lot of virtual stuff already at the Chicago Philharmonic. So what was the learning curve on this?
Well, it was kind of emergency, from March. I mean, so all of our programs, including our other company, Discover Music, Discover Life, everything went on a virtual platform. So we're really forced to learn it very, very quickly, to learn, you know, how to make Zoom work best.
Right.
You know, and also as a parent, Roosevelt can speak to this too, is our kids. You know, 4 of mine and 2 of his are all moving to that platform, and it you know, you really have to dive in and learn how to swim. So, but I'm really proud of what we've done with the camp and preparing for next week, because you know, there's so many things, so many layers, but we have got a team, and even now this week we're working out assignments of who's going to, you know, do various things, making sure that every teacher has the right microphone and video set up. And and you know, we're actually treating it like a production. You know, it's a run of show. Who does what, when, and where, and we're going to make it all happen.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's talk a little bit about what you're going to be having happen, because you know, from what I can tell, this is a really, really robust camp that you have that's going to be virtually, and it's really laid out structure. It's structured really well. So let's talk a little bit about the structure of it. I mean, it starts, it's 2 weeks, starts at 10 a.m., goes till 2 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday. Talk a little bit about the structure of it.
Well, I'm going to let Roosevelt take it, and I'll chime in, but he has a lot of great ideas that went into the planning of the camp. Go ahead, Rose.
Yeah, so again, thanks for having us on today. Sure. I know we approached this with the mindset of a student. So we understood that the students had to be engaged.
Yep.
And so, and we also understood they had to learn. So we kept the same type of curriculum we would have normally had during camp. And we also included a lot of fun things to keep kids coming back. Because with that, a lot of our students, you know, no matter how much fun they're having during that 50-minute or 1 hour rehearsal time virtually, they can easily be distracted by a sibling or a YouTube notification or something, right?
Right.
I need something to eat. So what we try to do is understand all of those things along the way. So again, I'm doing ensemble, but I realize that I can't have a in-person ensemble class.
Right.
So what we're doing is all of the students will receive the material, and they will have a 50-minute block with me where I can talk about concepts. I can demonstrate concepts. I can then have them model the concepts pertaining to that particular piece. The next hour, they'll shift and they'll learn from some of the, you know, some of the greatest musicians in the world.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, they'll learn on their instrument during master classes. And so the kids will flip. So one second or 1 hour, I'll have the youth ensemble. The next hour, I may have a group of beginners.
Oh, wow.
And then there's a time where they'll actually have workshops. Because, again, when we talk about the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic Jazz Academy, we're talking about music, but we're actually talking about life for students and all of us growing in this life together.
Right.
So so we have workshops, you know, various workshops. We have panels with artists from all over the country chiming in. We have question and answers. We have a Fortnite tournament. I mean, we have, you know, we're really trying to keep the kids going and learn and have fun learning.
Yeah, there's a movie night too. We're going to have Andy Davis, who's the director of such movies as Holes and The Fugitive. He's going to do a shout out, and we're going to play one of his first movie. So there's family time as well. So as soon as we'll be able to ask questions and all that. You know, I think one thing that makes it exciting too is that when we have an in-person camp, you know, we're kind of limited to who's available to, you know, be in Chicago, and, you know, especially our workshop artists. We're going to have a sit down with John Faddis. He'll be in New York.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a friend of mine, Daniel Parker, who founded the Colorado Institute of Instrument Technology. He builds instruments and he's a master at repairing instruments. So he's going to do a workshop on instrument care.
Oh, wow.
Know, and he's in LA. So it's just that, and some of our students are coming as far. We have maybe 7 or 8 students in Havana who will be joining us, you know, and it's
wow.
Just.
Well, and you have such a great connection to Havana, but I never even thought about, because it's virtual, you know, yeah. Obviously, because it's virtual, you're able to reach all of these different people. So really, the one side of it, the drawback, is that you're not going to be engaging in person. But the great thing of it is that you're able to expand the teaching ability of all of the instructors and everybody throughout the entire world. That's amazing. It almost seems like this is something that's probably going to be something, once we ever get back to normal times, this is going to be something that's added to the camp probably for an infinite amount of years, because it just seems
Most
like
definitely.
Something that just gets built into it then.
Most definitely. Yeah. It's really cool.
So talk a little bit about, you know, I was looking through the schedule, and then I see like Howard Levy's going to be on and Robert Irving III's going to be on. And are these like separate master classes, or how is that going to incorporate into the sessions?
Sure. Like as Roosevelt said, the morning sessions, they're based on instrumental ensembles, but then also the second half of that is instrumental technique. So our teachers are working on specific groupings and family of instruments and kind of dealing with kind of general things that all the students need as a group. In the afternoon, we have, well, I guess the old-fashioned word is workshop, where we simply have a topic. We have guest artists, which Howard is doing one on the harmonica, and yeah. John Faddis is going to talk about his life with Dizzy Gillespie, and yeah, so and Bobby Irving is going to talk about his life with Miles, and the cool thing is we'll also have video and audio examples and Q&A, and so it'll be extremely engaging.
Well, and that's the key, right? Because in order to Roosevelt's point. In order to make sure the kids don't get distracted, it's very important to be engaging, right? So that, and this is like a new experience, obviously, for everybody. But it sounds like, you know, it reminds me of, and I don't remember how the camps were run in the past. If they were set up, were they always set up with these types of master classes and things, or it was more ensemble playing, right? Because everybody was in the same room.
Pretty much the same. I think it's pretty. You know, we have our morning, right, Rose?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, but you know what? There's one I'm looking forward to. There's an afternoon session. I can't remember the day, but we're going to have a magician come in. Dr. Roosevelt Griffin, who my wife is very upset with him because he taught our youngest some magic tricks and he won't stop. So
so wait a minute. So Roosevelt, you're outside of being like an educator and master of everything here in the educational world and a fine musician, you're also a magician?
Yeah, well, a hobby of mine, you know, coming up. I'm a kid at heart. And like you said, I have to connect with the kids. So I use that to help, you know, connect with the kids just in general. So I felt like that would be a nice opportunity to teach, you know, have the kids come in and learn a trick.
Right.
Well, you know what? It's interesting because just on an aside, there's a very world famous physician who is a pediatric physician, world-renowned known, and he's also known as the physician magician. And he actually goes bedside and bedside manner. He teaches at Northwestern this class, and it's bedside manner, the physician magician. So this is the musician magician. I like that.
Right, there you go.
There you go. Say that 10 times. Yeah.
Right.
So let's talk about who this camp is for, because it's grades 5th through 12, right? So 5th grade through the high school, senior in high school. And is it all, you know, if you're just picking up your instrument, just starting to get going, all the way up to like you know, you're the top trumpet player in your high school jazz band before it all got shut down? I mean, it's for everybody, I would assume.
Go ahead, Ron.
Yes. So again, whether you're just starting out, you know, we actually have a music discovery program. So we have some students who they don't know what they want to play. And so we have this music discovery program with an incredible instructor who's been with us for many, many years, Michael Avery. And then we have our youth ensemble with some of our most experienced players. So, yes.
So talk
about what's funny is that is some of the students who have been with us, especially at our Saturday camp, are as young as 10 years old. But they're playing in the high school group,
right?
Because they've been that exposed, and you know they have to be in a group that challenges them at the same time. So, whereas I think last year we had a few high school beginners, but no one feels as if they're, you know, it under where they should be. It's all about lifting everybody up and taking everybody to the next step.
You know, Roosevelt, talk a little bit about it since I mean, Orbert can talk as well, but why don't we ask Roosevelt first? You know, I'm a big believer because I attended, you know, back in the day, I attended a Jamie Ebersole camp, and I literally got a year's worth of material in a week, and I learned it, and that launched my music career. That launched me into going where I went to school and all that other stuff. And talk a little bit about from the educational standpoint and how important it is to if you're you know, you're taking private lessons, you're at home now, obviously you haven't been in school, so you haven't had that interaction, maybe you're still practicing, hopefully, fingers crossed, everybody's keeping up on that side of it, even though they're not in class, but talk a little bit about how important it is and what you get out of being in such a submersive experience for a week, let alone 2 weeks like this, and how much information you're going to get in those 2 weeks to digest and then use the rest of the year.
Right. So as Orbert said, the virtual camp is really set up like we would normally do it if we were face-to-face. And we've always said that, you know, there's a lot of camps where you can receive a lot of material. you know, you'll learn the coolest scales, and you know, it's all about playing, which is fantastic. In our camp, we have a component of that, but there's a spirit in our camp. We like to say the spirit of community, of love, where these students, they become friends with each other. And in fact, it's I think we're in our 11th year at Orbit, 11th, 12th.
Yeah.
And so when I travel, I'm at a point now where a lot of the students who came through our program, they are major players now. They are playing at the top universities. And when I see them in public, you know, I'm going just to listen to live music to support them, and to see them walk through crowds trying to talk to them to get to me and tell me that the Jazz Academy is where it all started, with tears in their eyes, that does something for me.
And
to see, hear these players play now, and they're so humble and they're so giving, and they continue the spirit of this camp.
Yes.
So again, when we talk about this idea of community, this is really what we do, you know, to have instructors learning from students learning from parents, parents learning from students.
Right.
So all of this is happening. So yes, musically, you're going to learn a lot. You're going to take a lot with you, but it's something more than just the music.
Yeah. I think that also, to your point, I mean, look at how, I mean, this is the 11th year, right? And I mean, look at all the, I mean, Orbit, you and I talked right when you started the whole thing back and we did some stuff for Chicago Jazz Magazine when you first started. The amount of students that you have touched and pushed through, and obviously a lot of them come back each year because they just keep coming back to the camp because they keep getting better and better and better. But you've launched a lot of careers out of this. And do you think it's because of that community aspect of it? I mean, you know, what student wouldn't love to do this and then have those connections with not just the students, but also with the faculty, and be able to, in the middle of November, shoot you an email and say, hey, Mr. Davis, what do you think about this? You know, I've got this opportunity or that. I mean, it's that mentoring, too, that they're going to be able to get, right?
Yeah, and one thing that's fantastic, you know, a couple things. One is, from day one, Dr. Rosenberg Griffin has been with us. You know, we have such a low turnover rate. I believe all of our teachers have been with us. There's probably at least maybe 75% has been with us since day one. We have students who have graduated to be on, to be counselors, which the only unfortunate thing is in the summer, we don't have the college counselors, because since everyone's at home, we don't need kind of that shepherding component of keeping everyone together and taking them to lunch and all that sort of thing. Right. But so many of our counselors are former students. I think last year, all but one of our counselors were former students, which makes it easier on the teachers. We have a couple of teachers who used to be counselors. You know, Edna Izgueta is teaching our violin group. She's also doing a master class on mariachi playing. And she was the camp counselor when she was a freshman in college, you know. And so there's a sense of community. And I think that's really what it's about. So it's just kind of a tiered learning. And Roosevelt mentioned that even the parents are learning from students. Even our teachers are learning from the students. It's quite phenomenal and the best experience that we could ever ask for.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk a little bit. We want to make sure everybody knows. Now, I've got a link down below right now, chicagojazzphilharmonic.org. We're going to send them over there right on the homepage. It's got all the information about the virtual summer academy. Registration still open, so go ahead, sign up. Now, what are some of the costs for it, and what are some of the technology needs that you're going to need to be able to, you know, experience this? Because there's going to be a couple of little things you might need. Of course, everybody probably has them by now, but I just always like to get that out of the way. Orbit, why don't you take that one?
Yeah, and you're actually talking to the wrong person, because, man, I try to stay in my lane when it comes to technology. But I can say the latest version of Zoom is important. We want to try to get, you know, the best clarity and quality as we can. You know, hopefully everyone has their own instrument. That's kind of a must. You know, good microphone, good video. We want to be able to see you and hear you. Registration is sort of closed, but again, we turn nobody away. I mean, and so many of our kids are on scholarship. We have never, ever, ever turned a student away.
Wow.
I mean, because it just takes desire to be able to do it. We find a way. Because even with our kids in Cuba, it's like, well, how are we going to pay for that? Don't worry about it. We'll get it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
We want them there. And a couple of years ago, Roosevelt went with our entourage to Cuba and got a chance to hear some of this, the phenomenal musicianship there. And
oh, my goodness.
I look forward to connecting him again with some of these kids.
Yes, yes. And also, I want to add, as far as what the students will need, everything Orbert said, but what CJP actually did was we looked at some things that the student may not have access to. Right. And so each student will receive a box from CJP with other items that they will need throughout the camp. And each item will be used daily through the camp, whether it's for ensemble, for workshops. Yeah. So they have a goodie box that they'll be receiving.
Art supplies.
Art supplies. get playing cards for the magic workshop.
a hat with a rabbit in it, maybe. Or...
Exactly. There you go.
Hey, so talk. Go ahead.
Warner donated harmonicas for all the students too. So
that's great.
Howard's gonna do his demonstration, and it's gonna be crazy at all the homes.
They're gonna have that harmonica, and then they're gonna watch Howard play and go, wait a minute, this isn't working the same way. What's happening?
That's right.
Hey, talk a little bit, because I know you have all these special guests, and I did see that you've also got Forward Momentum Chicago, which it looks like a dance group that's going to be incorporated in this, and also our friend Louis Achenbach is going to be there doing his painting. I'm assuming he's going to be talking about what he does when he does the live painting experience.
Exactly, connecting music to other areas.
Yeah,
you know, the students will have to put on comfortable shoes and they'll learn some dance moves, you know, which is something we really got a kick out of doing every year live. We always have, you know, either a dance party or a DJ party, or and then dance instruction, African dance, all those things. So
yes,
we just wanted to keep that live experience intact. But as Roosevelt said, it's really about life. I mean, you know, jazz is jazz, and we have a strong dose of that. But it's really about the connection of jazz.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we do this? We want to make sure we send everybody over to ChicagoJazzPhilharmonic.org. And registration is sort of closed, but it's still also open, maybe.
Yeah.
and then, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, Orbert, just about the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic. I know you guys had a lot of stuff planned for 2020, and just like everybody else, everything's changed gears and all that. What do you have coming up? I mean, is there anything this summer, in the fall? I mean, I think we're going to do something with Cuba again and all this stuff. I'm sure everything's changed. So what's happening with the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic?
You know, speaking of which, our next performance is this Friday and Saturday. We're taking part of a concert that's actually about Cuba. There's, I didn't count them. There may be 20 or 30 Cuban artists that are performing throughout the world. It's a live concert. It's based on it's going to be on Hot House music.
Okay.
Yep. You know what? I have to find. Yeah, I think you have the information. And we're actually opening the concert, which I'm doing I do a 2-minute introduction, and with my COVID hair and my my all white beard, I went rogue.
Nobody's going to recognize you.
No one's going to recognize, but they'll recognize my voice at least. But I opened the concert, and then we're basically just playing two selections from the concert where the 35 students came to Chicago with the full orchestra.
Yeah.
So we have two pieces, and it's such an honor to be involved with heavyweights. I mean, really, it's going to be a 2-night festival.
Wow.
And then we're planning for the fall. You know, if things open up, we have a couple projects around our Chicago immigrant stories that we want to keep going. And our April concert at Governor State has been postponed to next spring.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a trip to Toronto performing with a small group there. So, yeah, things are going on. This is just kind of a hiatus, you know, repositioning time. But, you know, we got to get healthy. We got to protect ourselves. And we'll be back stronger than ever.
Oh, that's awesome. So everybody get all the information at ChicagoJazzPhilharmonic.org. Congratulations to both of you and everybody involved with the camp. And, you know, this looks like, man, it's going to be a robust virtual summer academy. So July 20th through the 31st, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., all the information at ChicagoJazzPhilharmonic.org. Guys, I can't thank you enough for jumping on. I'm glad we could help to get the word out about this. And, you know, we'll have to get a recap from some of your students maybe after the fact and get some testimonials, huh?
Yeah, sounds good.
Well, you know, one other thing we didn't say that we're also having private lessons in the afternoon.
Oh.
Yeah, so there's private lessons for every student. We'll have a private lesson. We have a series of private lessons.
Well, that's amazing. That, you know, that's the beauty. I have a feeling, you know, Zoom is such a resource, but also I don't think the people at Zoom knew what a resource they had until this pandemic happened, because I know that they're figuring things out just the same as a lot of other people, going, oh, wow, this actually does work with music. This might work this way.
And they're taking it to the bank.
Wish I bought Zoom stock before this happened, I suppose.
Oh,
but
man.
Hey. All right, guys. Well, have a great
right,
camp.
Mike.
Really appreciate it. Always fun catching up with you, Robert Roosevelt. Pleasure meeting you. And I'm sure we'll have to talk about all of the different things you have going on at the Griffin Institute of Performing Arts at some point too.
Yes. Yes.
Amazing. Excellent. All right. Well, have a good camp, and we will catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Mike. Well,
thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Take all right. Care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. I'll tell you, go to the website, chicagojazzphilharmonic.org, and check out the entire list of performances and everything that's happening over there for this summer jazz camp. I mean, it's robust. When I looked at it, I was like, wow, man. So go check it out. I'm telling you, all these different summer jazz camps are going online. They're making it work. And the good news is that, you know, the kids have not been in school in a long time. It is very important for them to be able to engage and be able to stay motivated, especially in the music field, right? I mean, if you don't practice your instrument for 4 or 5 months, you might never pick it up again. So this is something that's very important, and it's a great thing to support. Obviously, ChicagoJazzPhilharmonic.org is a nonprofit, so you can go there. If you don't play an instrument, don't want to do the camp, but you want to push a little money over towards the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic for all the scholarship money that they do and everything. They would greatly appreciate it, I am sure. Everybody needs a little help these days. And you know, so anything you can do is always welcome. And we have just had a full show here, and it's already over. So I appreciate everybody watching. Good news, Lydia Liebman is, we are going to have a national jazz artist on tomorrow, and we're going to announce that right after the show here, because it just came in. I was looking at my text messages, so we'll announce the rest of the shows this week. I do want to mention that coming up on Friday for the Chicago Blues and Beyond, of course, with co-host Dave Katzman, we're going to have the Grammy-winning Kenny Beady-Eyed Smith is going to be on the show. And great drummer, great guy, does a lot of educational stuff as well. I know that he has virtual things happening as well. So we're going to catch up with him on Friday for the Chicago Blues and Beyond. That's on Friday, and a whole lot more. So everybody, as I always say, if you like this, please like it. Please share it. Love to have everybody watching. If you enjoy watching this, 6 p.m. every single day, Monday through Friday, Central Standard Time. Tell your neighbors, tell the family, call the grandkids. Chicago Music Revealed. I will see you back here tomorrow and the next broadcast. As always, stay safe, stay healthy.